Thanks. I'm very excited to be here. This is actually my first presentation at a professional conference on a topic in my field. I have done other presentations on continuous integration at an open source science fiction convention called PenguinCon, that kind of thing. But I'm just really excited to be here. I guess I will get started. So I'm just going to say a little bit more about myself and National Cancer Institute and the team I'm on. I'm going to talk about the process flow to production, focusing on the software configuration management aspect. I can talk some more about OS and stack and middleware type things, but mainly my focus, at least until I get through the content I have prepared, is going to be on the software config management aspects. I'm also going to talk some about the different technologies that we have and integrations that we work on, some of the future that I see for SCM at National Cancer Institute, and then time for Q&A at the end. So that's the agenda. So I'll say just a little bit more about myself, talk a fair bit about the National Cancer Institute for people who aren't familiar with the environment there, so you'll understand the CM challenges that we have there, also talk a little about the software config management team that I'm on. By the way, thank you, team, for letting me come here. We're a little short-handed right now. We are hiring if anyone wants to work in Rockville, Maryland. I put personal contact cards up on the table there. If anyone wants to take away information and contact me later, that would be great. So I guess I'll just skip down to the part where the software config management team that I'm on is part of an IT infrastructure support services group that is currently the contract holder for that is SRA International. That changed last year from the different contracting agency that I was with up until December. So there's been a lot of transitions dealing with there. That's a contracting agency. One of the things about National Cancer Institute is it does use different contracting agencies for, development project A, B, the infrastructure side, and that is one of the factors that we have to deal with when we're setting up things about privileges and so on. So National Cancer Institute is the U.S. federal government's principal agency for cancer research and training, and also has an added mission, not part of its original mission, but has been added by Congress to do information dissemination about, say, cancer trial results. And without getting too political into some questions of recommended treatments versus and including complementary and alternative medicine, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot going on there, but the software config management team that I'm on started mainly on the crunchy bioinformatics side, and has its mission has expanded since then to other parts of NCI. So NCI is part of the National Institutes of Health, which is under HHS, which it has a .cancer.gov domain or an NCI.NIH.gov domain. Various sets of sites there. So the software config management mission at NCI is to support the science. Recreatable software and, it's always exciting at a conference when I want to go back and rework my slides halfway through the conference because it means I'm already learning and picking up new ideas. The part about recreatability, as important it is for any enterprise outfit, it's really important at a scientific outfit, because if you have a research project that's producing data or results, and you can't quite nail down exactly what OS, what middleware, what version of files you were using in your source code, That is not recreatable data. And that means it's not really science. So it's very, very important. That's why, you know, it's been a big, big mission, especially for the bioinformatics side. We also are responsible for development and deployment support, so working with the development teams and so on. But, you know, I would say a large part of our focus is on recreatability. So we also do software config management, service and tool administration. I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. We also do automation setups for builds and deploys to a variety of container technologies. And we also do software config management related process facilitation. And I stress facilitation. We're not gatekeepers. We identify risks to our federal customers, to the project managers of the development groups, but it's going to be their call about how to move forward with things, which is the structure that we have in our software config management group. So I just want to talk a little about the high-level process flow of getting all the way really from earlier than the source code, but particularly the source code and moving through the tiers to production. So the first part we really get involved with is the technology catalog. That's not talking about a tech stack, but more like what's the portfolio of the different software packages, infrastructure items that the infrastructure team and the development groups and our federal customer have all agreed can be supported, because the more you add, the more you proliferate different OSs and containers and so on, the harder it is for the same set of infrastructure people to continue supporting it. So we participate in a cycle every 6 months where we agree, you know, which versions are we upgrading, what completely new technologies are we bringing in that, you know, one project has decided is vital for their needs, does it get approval or not. So we're a part of that process. Then when we get into per project support, we have what we call an architecture review checklist process, where that project has presented, here are the parts of the technology catalog we want to use, here's what we see as our components, here's how they fit together, here are the application dependencies, perhaps with external software, perhaps with other components like the common security module we have at NCI, you know, how does everything fit together? And we are involved in the process facilitation for that before it moves further. Now, it may have already happened. Someone may have created a source code repository, because I'll get into that later, but I started it, so I'll say we were only using CVS and SVN at repositories hosted at NCI, the SCM team knew when a new repository was being created because we were the ones who were asked to create it. Now that we are doing active development also at GitHub, sometimes we don't find out about new repositories that have been created until quite late in the game. So, source code repository creation, if needed, is definitely one of our responsibilities. We work with the rest of the app hosting team to coordinate the dev tier setup. To start, usually it's the dev tier that we're starting with, and we, in common industry language, that would probably be called the integration tier. And we also work on the build and deploy automation to that server. We work with the app hosting team we're part of the app hosting team, and we work with the development team for a given project on that. Once it is set up so that we have the source code, it's being built and deployed successfully to the lower tier, then we will generally hand over that access to do the lower tier builds and deploys to the dev team once we've thrashed through any of the particular issues with the app hosting team and the dev team. For applications which are a lot like other applications we've done, that's a very fast turnaround. For new tech, it tends to take a little longer. We've been working through JBoss 6 implementation, build and deploy automation, the command line interface updates is very different from how it worked in JBoss 5. So that's taken several rounds to get through implementation that's going to work for more than the first project we did JBoss 6 support for. So moving forward like that. And then the upper tiers are the builds and deploys to that are done by the infrastructure team. The app hosting team that I mentioned is usually the one that will push the button for that. There are a few exceptions for not so much the bioinformatics, but some of the more flat HTML sites where the controls are varied a little bit. But it kind of depends on how much is it a content site, you know, a CMS. We do have some Drupal sites, for instance, versus how much is it in an application that might need setting changes and so on. One of the things about NCI is we have a lot of HIPAA data. We have a lot of information that, you know, there's personally identifiable information. You know, yes, there certainly some of the information that we store is anonymized, but most people here know that anonymized may not mean quite as anonymized as one might have expected without exposure to the industry. So there's also beyond the PII, which might be my social security number, there's health information. You know, there's full gene scans, there's information about health information, and that is the kind of stuff that is taken extremely seriously at NCI. And so that's one of the reasons why we have such careful controls against access to the production data, which is the real data of real people and real, you know, health history and so on. So because of that, there is changes to infrastructure, anything that might possibly impact exposure to anything HIPAA-related is taken really, really seriously. So sometimes some of the tech changes we work through have a very deliberate process, shall we say. Some of the SCM challenges at NCI. So 600 may not sound like a lot, but it ranges from static HTML to complex bioinformatics applications, and that's just, you know, the production access, you know, when you consider that that's on multiple tiers, that's thousands of servers. And the reason why that's, you know, if it were 600 of the same kind of stack, you know, that's not so bad. We have an extremely heterogeneous environment at NCI. Several versions of Linux, a lot of RHEL boxes and a number of CentOS boxes, a few Solaris boxes, different container technologies, JBoss and Tomcat, and Drupal and other stuff, and just flat websites. We also have Zopeplone, et cetera, et cetera. There are some physical servers. Mostly those are either very old Windows boxes we haven't managed to retire, or new heavy bioinformatics, lots of data, high performance requirements that we haven't managed to get an acceptable performance out of VMs yet. But most of our stuff is VMs. Also, our developers range from one lone scientist in her lab you know, who comes from academics, has never worked in an enterprise outfit before, doesn't understand that the build and deploy don't happen on the same machine that the public has access to. You know, so ranging from there to large contractor teams that kind of want to use the same exact tools they used on the last contract. And so, you know, everyone has valid reasons for what they want to do. We're here to support the science. We want to support it, but it has to be in a way that we can scale and not get, you know, buried with all the different requests and requirements for the different setups. You know, it's very varied over those 600 websites. And so that, you know, our team that I mentioned was, right now, just the SCM team. More people on the wider infrastructure team, but we're 3.5 people. So, and I'll talk a little bit, I already talked about that high-level view. Source code. We do administer hundreds of SVN repositories. Most are viewable by the public. Taxpayer funding, NCI mandate, most stuff is viewable to the public. Most stuff is, you know, in fact, open source. Anyone can fork. Well, they can't fork, but they could do a SVN R dump of the repositories that we have. Some of those were migrated from CVS from, say, 2003 or older code, and 100 or more have been now turned read-only when those projects migrated to GitHub for greater community engagement. So I have the URLs there, but I also have a slide up here just showing, you know, this is, anyone can look at this on the internet and look at the different code bases. Of course, that's just the code bases. There are also wiki pages out there which explain some of these different projects are about. But you can see that the metadata My slide I captured didn't actually capture the metadata, but you know, you can look at who did the last check-in on the BHM management repository and that kind of thing. So, as I mentioned, we have done a lot of engagement with Git lately. NCI is started with just a public GitHub channel for community engagement. That's the NCIP channel again. Anyone can look at that. All the repositories on that are open source, available to be forked, et cetera. And that channel is now for community leaders, community-driven. So that's not necessarily what's going to be the same exact code that's built and deployed at NCI. We have a more private sandbox. A more private channel on GitHub, which most of the repos there are also anonymous, browsable, forkable, et cetera, et cetera. There are some private repositories there as well. The development cycle is most of the contracting work goes on the more private channel, and then occasionally we'll get pulled into the more public NCIP channel. There are also a couple of other repositories on other channels, for instance, partnership with Mayo. You know, they have some of their own repositories. What we're doing for SCM support is we don't pull directly from GitHub for the builds that get deployed to servers. We actually mirror locally both of the official NCI channels and also some of the other repositories individually from some of the partnership repositories. So we're doing that mainly because NCI has a policy that anything we're building and anything that's on one of our servers, we're supposed to have everything that went into building that locally. So we have a local mirror, which we also, you know, think of loosely as a backup. This is just a snapshot of the National Cancer Informatics Program channel, which is the public channel that I talked about. So, you know, each of them has a little intro section, and then they're also on our public wiki server, there are more information about the different projects there are. So I just want to check. I'm totally fine on time. Okay, so builds and deploys. We started just pretty much doing kind of Ant Ivy builds. We are now doing, we have now added in Maven. We have added in Nexus for binary artifacts for third parties. AntHill Pro is the tool that we are using right now for our build and deploy management. That was by Urban Code, which has now been bought by IBM, which is looking pretty end of life because now they're doing UDeploy and so on. So at some point we are going to have to shift gears and pick a different tool to move to. And we have thoughts about that, and there are already various lobbying going on for, you know, one choice or another. But you know, that's something we're just going to have to deal with. And as I mentioned, it's deployed to a bunch of different containers and also on AntHill. Also via AntHill Pro, we're also deploying to Windows boxes. Again, when I joined the SCM team 6 years ago, we were just doing the builds and deploys to the bioinformatics applications on the Red Hat boxes. So the scope of what we support now has expanded a lot. And that's good. It keeps things very interesting. So we do support for our builds Ant and Maven use. We've also piloted a Grails build. We have found that Grails is very fragile from version to version as far as forward compatibility, backward compatibility, you know, not just the builds themselves, but the code would need to change. So anyway, with the Ant and Maven use, the developers write the build scripts. That's kind of their responsibility. But we provide examples. Here are build scripts that we have that are working. Here are how we do properties parameterization. We work with the developers, and we troubleshoot the build issues, but we don't write the XML for them. We do have some continuous integration at NCI. As I mentioned, we also have some flat sites where it's been cultivation effort to get some sites to agree that actually, yes, we know it's HTML, it still needs to be in version control, even though it's just, you know, HTML. So we haven't, getting them to see any need for continuous integration is, you know, a harder row to hoe on top of that. But so some projects are making very heavy use of continuous integration. These tend to be our more complex bioinformatics projects. However, even those are mostly more for builds and unit tests than deploys or runtime testing, although there is some of that too. Build dependency management. As I mentioned, we still have some legacy Ivy repositories around, which are a few projects are still using them, but we are now using Nexus, which isn't just for Maven artifacts. It can be for any binary artifact, or in fact a text file, or you can store a lot of stuff there. It depends on how you might need to structure things, but we're using it for a number of different things. Of course, it's used a lot for Maven artifacts, but we also have other third-party artifacts there. And on the Nexus server, so projects that are using Maven, again, going back to the thing I said about NCI wants to make very sure about anything that they put out on a server, we know exactly where the code came from, we know how to recreate it, et cetera. So we have a settings XML file for Maven that anyone using our AntHill Pro automation has to use, which basically restricts things to going through our Nexus server. The Nexus server proxies some public some extremely stable proxies out there. You know, the Google code and things that we don't think are just going to go down overnight because of the requirements. We also host locally built and customized binaries there. And I have a screenshot here, which you can see. This is just, you know, you can see we have different groups for organizing the information, the different artifacts. We have a bunch of third-party stuff, and you can just see where we start proxying, you know, the list of all the repos that we proxy, which is not big. As I said, it's not just any Maven repo that is out there that will get proxied here. So we do tie together our build and deploy management with Anthill Pro right now. There's a lot of integration with other tools, for instance, for testing, JUnit, Selenium, HP Quality Suite, Jira for issue tracking, notifications, and so on. I know that Anthill Pro is not very well used, is not super well known. You know, if you've used Jenkins, there are some aspects of Anthill Pro that are like that. You know, it's another build and deploy management tool. It's not just a CI box. It has very flexible setups for frameworks and so on. And that can be very overwhelming for the person who just wants to get their code out on the server and doesn't want to know about all this release management. You know, so what we have ended up doing for that is, as I said, on a previous slide, we give examples of code that's already working. We set up templates and library jobs for standardization and reuse, and we work with the devs to try to use those where possible. Absolutely, sometimes there are cases where whatever we have set up isn't going to work anymore. You know, all the templates we had for JBoss 5 and before, you know, we had to do new stuff for JBoss 6, and that's fine. It's just work that has to be planned for. So always when we're trying to do this stuff, we're trying to balance, you know, standardization, predictability, knowing what we have, knowing how it works, against responsiveness to the varied needs. You know, people who are doing science, you know, a new tool comes along, they want to try it. I mean, that's not so different from anywhere else, right? Dev teams want to try the new things. But one of our challenges is to try and manage that balance, you know, being as responsible as responsive as we can, but also aware that every time we agree to support something that impacts the rest of the infrastructure team, which impacts the support we can give to any other team. For the future, as I mentioned, you know, from 6 years ago to now, our mission has greatly expanded. We haven't caught up with all the automation that needs to be done. There is definitely a lot that's done manually that we would like to push into change into turnkey. Drupal's maybe kind of a special case there, but we definitely have, you know, work that is in our queue to do more build and deploy automation, particularly to the Windows boxes, because most of the Linux stuff was bioinformatics side, which we were covering kind of from the beginning. You know, it's the adding on all the Windows and all the flat site maintenance for SCM. You know, we had source code repositories for most of the flat sites, but there's more to it than just having the source code, as everyone here knows. Tech and tool changes. Certainly, technology keeps changing. You know, we'll be needing to do, I think it's JBoss 6 and Java 1.8 soon. Maybe I'm thinking of Tomcat and Java 8. Anyway, we know that more versions will be rolling along, and some may not have a big impact. Ant 1.8.2, Ant 1.8.4, you know, that's not going to be a huge impact. You know, changing to entirely new container technologies is a bigger impact. So, and as I said, we have to work on our build and deployment changeover too. I mean, we've got some obvious candidates as far as driving forces. You know, a lot of developers are already using Jenkins. They like Jenkins. We have a lot of Atlassian suite stuff, so Bamboo might be a choice. Electric Commander at least sounds like it's good for all the enterprise level framework. Lots of flexibility that's needed. You know, we've got some serious work to do to figure out what to switch to, because obviously we don't want to have to do migrations to different build and deploy tools just any day. Although with the modular approach that we're taking, we're hoping it won't be terrible. there's also more automation of workflows. One of the issues we have is there are a lot of manual processes of facilitation. I mentioned the facilitation that the CM team does. A lot of that is manual. There is a lot of balancing of projects which want something different, but maybe haven't made a business case that the federal sponsor accepts for why they need the new technology. But every time that discussion happens, we get involved in it because, you know, they ask, what do we think? And, you know, we give our opinion on this is a small impact, this is a big impact, et cetera. It's very manual. And we can offer stacks and say, you know, we have our catalog. We can also offer stacks within that catalog, you know, for faster turnaround. But sometimes that's looked at as some kind of formality, and they just want to sit down and talk about it with us to begin with, which we're certainly there to talk about, but 600 teams, it takes a lot of time if everyone wants to talk to us, talk out every change every time. So we need to get better on our workflow automation, and we're aware of that, and it's just a question of prioritization against some of the other work we want to do. And then more integration, more transparency, dashboards so PMs can have a better view. Yes, they can look at the Anthill Pro build breaks and so on, but you know, we want to have a better, higher level of abstracted information so they can see what's going on there. And also the technology stacks that I mentioned, yeah, we have Kickstarter files, we have we do have VM images, et cetera, but that's not the whole stack with all the middleware up through the container. That's something we've definitely thought about working on with the teams that do that. But that's only going to, I really don't actually know how achievable that is with Windows or if it's just a matter of an image. You know, these are things we've got to think about and deal with. So, you know, and then there's how much of that integration happens with the software configuration management process. Let's say we have a stack that's our JBoss 6 stack, you know, that has everything up through Java 1.7 and JBoss 6. Do we do any integration between our build and deploy process and the stack setup? We certainly are working towards self spin up on the lower tier. But you know, what about do we want to try and set any hooks for the application? I'm so sorry. The application deployment and the up through the container setup. So there's a lot of things that we are dealing with. I think they're really interesting questions. I am really happy to be working where I am. I know there are, you know, newer, hotter tools out there, but I just think the problem space that I work in is really, really interesting. So I like it. But it keeps us busy for sure. So I want to thank you for attending. I want to thank very much NCI for giving me permission to speak here, because believe me, we don't get the chance to talk about the work we do at government agencies all that often, and they you know, we got through the hoops and I was able to come here. My team, as I mentioned, for supporting while I'm away. So I have, you know, that my email is there. I have a Twitter account. I have a bunch of stuff bookmarked on Pinboard, if you've ever used that. It's like Delicious. It's a bookmarking service. So I have a lot of CM tags there. And that configures ID, you know, that's pretty much what I use on GitHub. Not that I use GitHub personally that much, just too busy. you know, Twitter, my email, etc. I have my contact info there. Oh, and for anyone who's familiar with the sparkly DevOps meme that's gone around on Twitter, I have some sparkly badge ribbons up there if anyone wants any. So there is certainly more stuff I could talk about as far as like I said, some of the other technology questions, some of the other technologies we have, talking a little bit more about the OS and middleware and so on. But I guess that's it for what I have prepped to talk about.
So first of all, let me apologize if I'm projecting a little bit, but something kind of stuck out, which I've gotten used to working on what I like to think of as academic timescales, where things have to live for like 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
How do you maintain your configure your CM or deliverable relevant for that period of time? So if it needs to be repeatable, it has to be repeatable for the entire lifespan, like 20, 30 years, or what?
Right. Where we get into questions of hardware preservation, that's a really tough question. You know, we are doing a data center migration, and we're not keeping all the old hardware that we had, for instance. That kind of evaluation isn't really one we make. You know, that's the program management looks at that. We support it, but it is a tough question because yes, absolutely. You know, if you want to reproduce things, you want to be able to reproduce them 20 years later, to see, if you can figure out have things changed or not. You know, look at the questions about how much has, are people more sensitive to gluten now because wheat has more gluten in it than it did 80 years ago? You know, that's not cancer related, but it's the same kind of problem sphere. You know, how do you keep all that information? How do you keep the materials? You know, we certainly have stuff in cryo labs, but how you tie all that together, how you keep tracking all that information? Well, we migrate information to different formats from, you know, we had stuff in GeForge, now it's in Atlassian Confluence Wiki, you know, and, you know, PDFs that have been saved and archived and all that kind of stuff. I guess I don't have a specific answer to your question. I'm happy if you want to answer, if you want to have a follow-up.
I think I phrased that a little inelegantly. I was just kind of curious, but you answered it. Thank you.
Okay.
First of all, thank you for the insight, which had never occurred to me, of the importance of configuration management for scientific validity of data, which is really, really interesting. You mentioned mostly configuration management at the application level.
Yes, that's mostly what my team is responsible for.
Right. Is there also an interest in this same type of reproducibility for the system level configuration? Are you concerned about that?
We are. How much that message has gone back and forth, I'm not sure about. That is probably the point I made about CM being necessary for science projects that produce data is I kind of came up with that. You know, that's not an NCI official line, but certainly one of the reasons why they have strong CM is they do understand, the Cancer Institute, the bioinformatics program that we started supporting, that was really started around 2001, but the Cancer Institute is much older than that.
Of course, but so, I think it's I think it's a really important point. And
I mean, it is.
Thinking about it, if you're doing, I don't know, some kind of simulation, everything from the endianness or the bitness of the underlying system up to how your application stack is configured can affect the results produced by the simulation. So you want to make sure it's reproducible all over the place, right?
Right. I would say that that is a broader conversation that is happening right now, that awareness is being raised of that in various science endeavors. And that is a conversation that is going on now. Partly people are thinking about it because of things like over in astronomy with, you know, trying to talk to satellites that have been out there for 30 years and, you know, hey, where's our parts to talk to those? That kind of thing. I think that's gotten more people thinking about relations to other science and other. So I guess I would just say I think the conversation has not been as full as it needs to yet.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So they initially seemed kind of disparate, but I think a lot of the stuff that you're talking about dovetails with what Eric was talking about this morning with, you know, we need to configuration manage all the things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of tilting at a very similar windmill where you want to manage all the processes, all the software build process with a single universal omnibus build process to build everything.
Well, let me cut in on that.
Yeah.
We really believe in a modular approach as much as possible because that's just such a much more flexible way to go.
Right.
If I gave that impression, yes, Antel Pro is a build tool that we kind of use as our linchpin to tie things together, but it's not like a monolithic tool. When we were using GeForge before, fragile, difficult to modify just one part, and very difficult to do any base level upgrades at all. And that kind of taught us a lesson that we don't want to be so locked in that it's a Herculean effort to move any of it. It has taken quite a bit of our time. So I guess I cut you off, but I did want to, you know, stress that, you know, our approach is definitely we want to be able to integrate things together so that we can move things around, reconfigure if we need to.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but you're trying to manage all the processes with a set of modular processes at least.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Is there ever a point at which you say no? Someone comes to you and says, well, we want to build thus and such, and you say, go away, these are our supported stacks, we're not going to add yet another thing to this, or do you just continue to grow and grow and grow?
What we say as a team is, this is not in our supported technology catalog that has been agreed by the different groups. However, you may apply for a federal waiver. So, you know, if they can make the business case that gets a federal sponsor to agree to commit the additional resources it will take to support their process, absolutely, we'll support it. We just have to be able to say, okay, we will support it. These are going to be the impacts to the scheduled work that we already have. You know, so that's how it goes. We don't really say no, but we will say this isn't in our scope as we understand it. There needs to be further conversation about that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay. While waiting to see if anyone comes up with any other questions, I'll just mention I was very sorry to not be able to make it here Tuesday afternoon for the evening board game set, and I did bring Quiddler and Aquarius, and we'll be here tomorrow and here tonight if anyone is wishing they could play some card games. I don't know, did anyone go to that on Tuesday night, or was anyone even here by Tuesday? I only got here last night, so. Oh, too bad. I took the train, or I would have taken a bunch more games just in hopes, but, you know, that's my kind of networking, sitting around a table and playing board games, but. Okay, Again, contact info there. I'm happy to have follow-up questions if anyone thinks of something they want to ask me about later on. Okay, thank you.